Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your patience. Please excuse us for this delay. Without much ado, Secretary General.
Good afternoon. I'm very happy to hear that we have with us a group of journalists from the new independent Libyan media. Welcome to NATO. We have just had a productive session reviewing several of our current operations for Libya, in Kosovo, and off the Horn of Africa. 6 months ago, we launched Operation Unified Protector to prevent threats against civilians in Libya. Today, ministers agreed that the operation has been a great success. In Libya, NATO and our partners have made the difference. For countless civilians, we have literally made the difference between life and death. We have fulfilled the mandate of the United Nations, and we are close to completing our mission. Tomorrow, when we meet with our partners in the operation, we will discuss the prospects for ending the mission. Today, we began discussing the lessons we should draw from this operation. There are many things which we did right. We acted fast. We were flexible. We engaged with our partners, and together we continue to be effective. But we cannot be complacent. The operation also showed we lack certain critical capabilities, especially in Europe. European allies and Canada took the lead. They provided most of the assets, but they had to rely on the United States to deploy critical enablers to get the job done. I'm talking about intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and air-to-air refueling. NATO as an alliance rose to the challenge, but if we are to respond to the challenges of tomorrow just as effectively, more allies should make sure they obtain and maintain those kinds of critical capabilities. One is not enough. Looking ahead, we also agreed that NATO should be ready to assist the new Libyan authorities with defense and security sector reforms if they request our support. NATO has long experience of supporting the move from dictatorship to democracy, and if asked, we would be happy to share that experience.
We also discussed events in Kosovo. We feel that KFOR acted carefully, firmly, and impartially in full compliance with its UN mandate. We remain fully committed to that mission. KFOR is a success story indeed. Thanks to what we did, a hotspot has largely been made peaceful over the course of the last 12 years. And we will not allow a return to the violence of the past. KFOR will continue to fulfill its mandate. By ensuring a safe and secure environment, we will also maintain freedom of movement. We welcome the strong cooperation which exists between KFOR and the European Union's mission, EULEX, on the ground. This is absolutely key to our joint success. However, more progress is warranted on the political side of things. This crisis could only be solved by calm, moderation, and dialogue. The EU-led political dialogue between Belgrade and Pristina is the only way forward for all the people of Kosovo, regardless of ethnicity.
Finally, we discussed the challenge of piracy. International efforts to combat piracy off the coast of Somalia are having an effect. Overall, the number of successful pirate attacks is down. And in the Gulf of Aden, there has not been a single successful attack since the start of the year. But challenges remain, and the solution will take an international effort. NATO is an integral part of that international effort. We agreed that Operation Ocean Shield makes an important contribution and that we will continue the mission with the commitment and the capabilities which our commanders need to undertake their role. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Washington Post.
Secretary General, Craig Whitlock for the Washington Post. In your meeting so far, has a consensus formed, or do you see one forming, about what specific conditions would have to be met in Libya in order for the alliance to end military operations there? And could you foresee those operations ending as long as Colonel Gaddafi remains at large?
First of all, let me stress that the termination of the operation is not dependent on Colonel Gaddafi. Actually, he is not a target of our operation. The decisive factor will be the protection of the civilian population. So when we are going to make the decision to terminate our operation, we will carefully assess the security situation and in particular, of course, take into account the capability of the National Transitional Council to protect the civilian population effectively. And we will coordinate our decision with the United Nations and, of course, the new authorities in Libya. So the key will be the protection of the civilian population. So when no threat exists against the civilian population, time has come to terminate our operation. But on the other hand, we are prepared to continue as long as necessary to protect the civilian population effectively.
Al Arabiya.
Nourdine Fridi, Al Arabiya News Channel. Mr. Secretary General, I have a couple of questions. First, on Libya, there are some credible information about a big amount of portable missile which are missed in Libya. Some are talking, the Libyan authorities are talking about 5,000. Some other sources are speaking about 10,000 portable missile, some 7. Do you have an idea where is the destination of these missiles? And until now, did the Libyan authorities ask you to help them in how to collect all these arms available in the street in Tripoli and elsewhere? And if you don't mind, I have a question on Syria. What is your comment after the Russian and Chinese veto last night against the European Union United States resolution draft? And are you concerned? How far are you concerned by what's going on in Syria?
On your first question, obviously, it is a matter of concern if weapons are not monitored and controlled appropriately. And this is, first of all, a responsibility for the National Transitional Council. The United Nations Security Council has also called on the new authorities in Libya to take necessary steps to make sure that no proliferation, dissemination of weapons will take place. NATO has not received any request as regards assistance in that respect. It is first and foremost a responsibility for the new authorities in Libya. On Syria, as I have stated on several occasions, NATO has no intention whatsoever to intervene in Syria. We strongly condemn the crackdowns on protesters in Syria. I do believe that the only way forward in Syria, like in other countries, is to accommodate the legitimate aspirations of the Syrian people. I'm not going to interfere with deliberations in the UN Security Council, but resolution or no resolution, I think the bottom line is the same, that the only way forward in Syria is to accommodate the Syrian people's desire for freedom and democracy.
Libyan media.
I'm Zeki Shahab from Arabs Today. Secretary General, when you talk about the lessons learned from Libya, how far we can say that ministers today have agreed to cooperate in order to fill the gaps in terms of, like, you know, intelligence gathering information or trying to assist each other so future challenges can be faced? The other thing is, like, Barcelona meeting, Lisbon meeting took place, there was, like, no sign of a preparation or expectation that the Arab Spring will take place. So what kind of challenges NATO is, like, you know, trying to take into consideration in the future? Are you monitoring specific areas in the world after NATO summit missed, like, you know, looking at any future events expected?
Firstly, on capabilities, yes, in principle, ministers agree that we have to focus on more multinational cooperation in order to make more efficient use of our resources. This is also a reason why some time ago we asked our Allied Command Transformation, as it's called, to prepare a report on a number of areas that could be subject to multinational cooperation. And our Allied Command Transformation has now finalized that first report, and ministers will discuss the report later today, and I would expect them to agree that we should build on that report and maybe also continue to develop new products that could be subject to multinational cooperation. It's about acquisition of expensive military equipment, but it's also about bringing down running costs when it comes to training, education, logistics, maintenance of military equipment. So there is really a broad range of areas within which we can make more efficient use of resources if we help each other, if we go for collective and multinational solutions. So overall, there is a political agreement. This is the way forward. The challenge, of course, will be to translate that political will into some concrete proposals. And my roadmap is to prepare a package for the summit in Chicago. So you will not see a final list when we conclude the meeting tomorrow. We will start work today and tomorrow and continue with a view to the upcoming NATO summit in Chicago. On the Arab Spring, a very concrete follow-up on the Arab Spring as such will be attempts to revitalize and put new dynamics into our partnerships with countries in North Africa and the Middle East. And it may also be an item on the agenda of the summit in Chicago. And in general, our new strategic concept provides the framework for a NATO that engages with partners across the globe, and I think that's the best way address new developments that may have an impact on the security situation in allied nations.
We have time for only two more questions. I have Europa Press in the front.
Thank you so much, Secretary General. On missile defense, do we have a date for when the NATO system will reach full operational capability? And my second question is, given that we already know some countries like Poland, Romania, Turkey, and more recently we hear today Spain, we'll be hoping to announce that we will host some U.S. Cruisers part of this system. Do we have any other European allies that are going to put equipment as such with Aegis or other systems? I mean, not just hosting elements of the US missile defense system, but a real own NATO capability. Thank you.
Yeah. On the operational capability, as you know, it's our intention to declare an interim operational capability when we meet in Chicago in May next year. As regards a full operational capability, very much will, of course, depend on further development. As you know, it is a so-called phased adaptive approach, which means that we can continuously adapt the system to the evolving security situation. But as things stand today and as we can envisage the development as of today, we would expect it to be fully operational in 2018. As regards inputs from individual allies, I think missile defense is an excellent example of what I call smart defense, that we cooperate on a multinational basis. The United States provides a significant input to a NATO-based missile defense system, but other allies contribute as well. As you already mentioned, Turkey, Poland, Romania have announced that they are ready to host certain missile defense facilities. Later today, I hope that we can announce yet another initiative, and I would not be surprised if we will see further announcements in the coming weeks and months as regards new inputs to a NATO-based missile defense system. So it's really a success story of smart defense, but most importantly, of course, it will provide better security for the populations in NATO countries.
One final question from the Serbian news agency, Beta.
Yes, Dragan Bajović, Serbian news agency, Beta. Secretary General just said, il faut un nouveau...
We need further progress on the political track, and it is only with calm, moderation, and dialogue that we will be able to overcome the situation.
New political progress at the level of the international community, international actors, and Pristina and Belgrade, or through the dialogue?
Yeah, but I'm actually thinking about the Belgrade-Pristina dialogue. That's what I'm hinting at. I do believe that the only way forward is to engage in that dialogue. And during my recent visit to Pristina, I talked with the political leadership there a number of conversations with President Tadic of Serbia. I have conveyed exactly the same message and urged all parties to engage constructively in this process. I would very much like to see all countries and communities in the Western Balkans move forward in their relationship with the Euro-Atlantic structures, the European Union and NATO. And to that end, we need a constructive political dialogue, and that's what I mentioned in my introduction.
Thank you very much. The Secretary General will be back together with the Prime Minister of Spain and U.S. Secretary of Defense at around 1900. Thank you.